Hey there, welcome to Chronophobe, where we discuss the past, the present, the future, and try not to be too scared about the changing potential. Joining me this week is Staley Dan.
Hello.
And Steiner.
Yo.
And I'm your host, Green Chrono. This week our topic will be Skyrim. We'll probably be discussing what we like about the game, what we don't like about the game, but mostly it will be gaming stories about our adventures in Skyrim. Because that's the kind of game it is. We may end up doing something similar for Fallout as well. Later in the future. Of course, the future is always later rather than sooner. I don't know what I'm talking about now. I may edit this out. Let's start with gaming news for this week. Sina, what do you got for us?
We've got the Sniper Elite 3 has now been announced on both current-gen consoles and next-gen consoles. The publisher 505 has announced that it might also be released on the Wii U. Sort of rumours for the moment, same with PC, but it looks to be very similar to Sniper Elite V2, which was obviously it was a big hit on the current gen consoles. So hopefully it'll be a nice staple for the next gen consoles.
Possibly. We don't get enough games like that that emphasise stealth and cunning rather than direct combat. Still,
I've got the Saints Row 4 has been announced that it's going to release on the 20th of August in US territories and everywhere else on August 23rd. It's being published by Deep Silver, the guys who made Dead Island, and it's still being developed by Volition. I don't know what their name is.
Cider.
A new Bioshock Infinite trailer has been announced, titled The False Prophet. It shows a lot more of the combat system and the melee system using the Skyhook. It shows a lot of the visuals in the city of Columbia and shows a couple of the new tonics. With the game being released on the 26th of March, it's not long to go now, and I honestly am really looking forward to it.
Staled up.
Injustice Gods Among Us has got two new characters announced recently, Doomsday and Raven. They're going to join such additional characters who've been announced, like Nightwing, Cyborg, Sinestro, Captain Marvel, Aquaman. It sounds like it's going to be a good game.
Alright, quite looking forward to that. Cider.
I've got that LEGO City Undercover on the Wii U, the downloadable version of the game, will require an external hard drive. Its current size is too much for both the premium and the basic console to handle, so an external hard drive will be required to download the digital copy of the game. This comes as quite a blow to with the Wii U, as the Wii U's main selling point was it's supposed to have a really decent digital store on it, but if it can't handle the new games without having to have an external hard drive, I see it as being a waste of time.
Indeed. Bit of a burn for Nintendo. Still done.
Well, SimCity has been recently unplayable thanks to the new DRM system in place that requires you to be always online. You would have thought that EA would have taken a step forward from what Blizzard did with Diablo 3, but obviously they haven't learnt the lesson that you do not put always online DRM and then not have a server that can handle your player size.
There is also the debug mode that has been uncovered recently that shows that the game can be played possibly for an unlimited amount of time offline without losing your save progress. Bit of an awkward move for EA after the problems of Diablo. Cider?
We have the X-i3 Piston console has been announced and its final price been given. It's due out the 2013 holiday season, which is basically Christmas, and it's going to start at $1,000, which is roughly around £850. Although, according to the company that's producing it, I honestly can't remember what they're called, if you pre-order it before a certain date, I can't remember what it is, I think it's March, end of April, sorry, you'll get $100 shaved off the pre-order price, you'll get $900. Originally, it's been said that Valve were backing this console in place of their own Steam box, but that appears to be false. as Valve's Doug Lombardi has told both Eurogamer and MCV that Valve has had some dealings with the XI3 corporation, but have left behind the piston.
Well, that's it for gaming news. If you have any comments about this week's events, don't forget to send them to us at our new email address that we have set up. We will be putting it in the comments or in the description for the show. I'm not sure how it works. I've not downloaded it on iTunes yet. It will be in the description, or it will be somewhere you can get the email address from. Now, what have we been playing this week? Daily then.
Well, I've just been playing Skyrim, really, because I've got the DLC and I've not been on it in a while. And now I've created a new character and boosted my overall gameplay time into the absurd amounts of like the 200 hours zone. And really, I'm not proud of that, but at the same time, I'm thoroughly enjoying the game.
What about you, Sarah?
After finally 100% in the new Tomb Raider, which was fantastic, I might add, I have now started playing DMC Devil May Cry, just to tide me over until Bioshock Infinite's released later on this month. I'm really liking the new look Dante. His one-liners and quips are as sharp as ever, and I'm liking his new outfit. Looks awesome.
I will say I was a little disappointed with everybody's reactions immediately to the character design.
I liked it. I thought it was a welcome change.
I wasn't a fan of the initial design they showed when they announced the game, but that wasn't to do with the haircut or anything. It was more the coat that it didn't look long enough for Dante at the time. But they went back and they changed that up because it was a work in progress, so I couldn't expect everything to be in the final design. But I've got no problems with the new Dante. I think if it's going to be a reboot, then you might as well reboot the character like they did with Tomb Raider. Honestly, if you're going to do anything with Lara Croft, you obviously have to deflate the breast so she doesn't look like she has chronic back pain, and dirty her up so she doesn't look like she's just, taking a spa trip every time she comes back from her tomb excavation.
I will say, I played the demo, and the gameplay stands up. It's probably, in gameplay terms, one of the best of the series. People do complain that it's too easy, but that's why there is harder modes.
Yeah, you want to just get them to stick it on Hell and Hell mode. That way all the enemies are quadruply harder than they are in the original game, and Dante dies in one hit.
I do like the Dante must die mode. Anyway, I myself have been playing the Skyrim. Finally finished the Dawnguard expansion, which was pretty cool. And I've really just been running around doing whatever. Pretty cool doing there. We'll save that for the actual main topic, though. Now, moving on. Now, this week in the charts, Tomb Raider has topped the charts, which was no surprise after all the build-up to it, which was very impressive. A lot of people loved it. And it was a well-deserved top spot. What was that?
Definitely.
We already know Sarah's opinions because he will not shut up about it.
Love Tomb Raider.
There you go. Number two, SimCity. Despite all the problems it's been having with DRM issues, it is still selling very well.
Well, it's definitely the best selling, but I don't think it's the most played out of all of them, really, is it?
That's because people can't play it, can they?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Naruto Shippuden, Ultimate Ninja Storm 3. Supposedly the big conclusion of the Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm franchise.
I'm very surprised that this managed to make it into the charts. I mean, it just goes to show that anime-style games are becoming a lot more popular. I mean, it's a niche title like Naruto, I wasn't expecting to get to number three in the charts, at least.
Mm. Well, to be fair, if you played any other Ninja Storm games, they are very well handled. You don't even really need to be a fan of the franchise to like it.
I don't think you really need to watch or read the series to actually get what's going on in the games, because they fairly well explain the stuff.
Exactly. It's not like most Dragon Ball games where it just gives you a bare-bones plot and says, go fight that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dragon Ball for you. I'll be honest with you. As much as I enjoyed Naruto and both the manga and the anime, the games never really drew me, but after playing Shippuden 3, I have to say it's a really well-designed game. I mean, I'm terrible at them. I can't play Naruto games to save my life, but I really enjoyed playing this one, and the little extra bits like the different generations with the Killer Bee section, that was stuff like that. It just sort of makes those games for me.
Now, we've discussed the top three. We're going to move on, pick out ones that I'm personally interested. Number 40, quite interestingly, is the Academy edition of Gran Turismo 5. Comments?
That's still in the charts?
Yes, apparently.
Oh, okay. Well,
I was never really a big fan of the Gran Turismo games just because I preferred stuff like Ridge Racer and Forza. But to see that they finally released the Academy edition of it with all the extra content and cars and tracks, it's cool. I mean, it's basically Forza's equivalent on the PlayStation, and I liked Forza.
I will just say the Academy edition does have all the extra DLC, but it is a passcode.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind before you decide to buy it. Speaking of Forza, Forza Motorsport 4 has hit 25, dropping down from 20.
And again, that's still in the charts. Came out ages ago.
Oh, well, here's some fun stuff. Forza Horizon has moved up from 30 to 20.
I think that one was a slow starter. It just needed to get going because a lot of people were still playing Forza Motorsport 4 with the fact that they still, every month, they release packs of cars and tracks for it. And now that they've sort of cooled down, that Forza Horizon has really shot up in the charts.
Last one we'll pick out. Staley Dan, choose a number.
I'm going to go with number 4.
Number 4 is The Sims 3 University Life. Not sure why that actually gets a spot on there, considering it's an expansion. But there you go.
Well, let's just say that it's the people's gaming habits now are quite varied, because if you look at the titles, we've got number 1, you've got a blockbuster title. Number 2, a PC simulator game. Number 3, a niche fighter game. And number 4, an expansion pack. It shows that the gamers nowadays are having a lot of variety.
But of course, then you've got number 5, which is FIFA 13.
Thankfully, dropping down from the number 2 spot.
Which surprises me that it was actually able to keep at the number 2 spot for as long as it has.
We might not like the game, but as far as sports games go, they're alright.
Yes, they sell very well over here. The American equivalent, of course, being the Madden series. Doesn't sell amazingly well over here, but it is huge in America.
It's the national sport. But before we move on, I would love to just pick one more number, please.
Okay, go for it.
15. Aliens, Colonial Marines.
Dropped down from number 7.
Unsurprisingly, has dropped down straight from number 7. I mean, this game has had the worst reviews of any game I've seen in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I myself was very disappointed with how it turned out. I was really looking forward to it.
I mean, just to show you how, just to give an example of how bad the game is actually doing, the collector's edition of the game, which was RRP at £69.99, has now dropped to £35.
Ooh. Wow. Isn't that the one that comes with the power loader?
It's the one that comes with the statue of the Marine in the powerlifter fighting the alien.
Yes.
Damn.
I'm appeased now. I've ragged aliens, calling Marines. We can move on.
Okay, well, since Sign is satisfied, let's move on to this week's topic, Skyrim. Now, of course, we're all big Skyrim fans. I'm probably the least of a Skyrim fan amongst us, but I do quite enjoy the game. What we're going to do is probably just ramble about it for an hour. So don't expect too much coherency in this part. Except for when we split up to talk about our game review of the week. Dun, dun, dun. Starting us off, Staley Dan, tell us about your experiences with the Dark Brotherhood.
The Dark Brotherhood and me are currently at a bit of a midway. I've not completed the questline. I know what exactly goes on with the questline, but I don't really have this motivation at the moment to keep going forward with it, because my character really, I've got this image that they're quite a noble Dragonborn and they don't want to go around just randomly slaughtering innocents, and I know exactly where I'm going with this thing, so I've kind of taken a break from it. I'm going to go back to it eventually to complete and get some of the rewards for it, but otherwise I'm just going to stay back for a while.
Well, if your character's supposed to be a noble and loving Dragonborn, why didn't you just kill Astrid when you had a chance?
Because at the time, my Dragonborn was a slightly morally confused character.
So he was an idiot.
Oh, yeah, he was a total idiot.
You've been role-playing then?
Mm-hmm, I've been role-playing myself, really.
Yes, impressive. I myself have just started the Dark Brotherhood quest. I've pretty much just stumbled into it. I was running around, where is it? It's Wilmhelm, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, and you talked to Aventus Aretino.
He was like, you're here. I was like, yes, give me your money. And he gave me a quest, and I did the quest because I like killing old people.
I think I stopped for a second, and I was like, kid, there is human flesh lying on the ground. Whose is that?
It's your mother's. It was hilarious for me, because the kid started talking to me, and my companion, Serana, from the Dawnguard expansion, just moved past him and started carving away at it in the background. So I'm not paying attention to this kid. I'm seeing what my companion is doing, and it's hilarious.
I mean, I had a lot of fun with the Dark Brotherhood questline with one of my characters, because I've got my Argonian, who's just an all-round murderer, Skoomer addict. So I decided that it'd be a great idea to just walk into the orphanage in broad daylight and stab her repeatedly with the two iron longswords.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's hilarious until you remember that no matter how exactly you do this thing, you will not get a bounty for killing that woman, because you'll walk out and guards are just like, oh, well, he killed her, who cares?
I think that's really more of a reference to the city itself.
I like that. Sometimes I just get bored, I save when I'm in Riften, I drop a cabbage and just run, because there will be a riot there, and it is fun to watch, just especially if you've completed one of the side quests for a citizen there who you return a sword to, and she will pull this like enchanted two-handed sword out and start cutting up merchants and guards. It's hilarious to watch, but I wouldn't recommend doing it if you want to, you know, keep your options open there. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a lot of dead bodies and cut off side quests.
Mm. I mean, Riften itself is really just the worst of the worst. In terms of the nine holds, anyway. It does count as a hold, doesn't it? Yes.
It's Rift.
Yeah, it is the worst of the worst in terms of the nine holds. So I'd say murdering her counts more towards the state of the city rather than nobody likes her.
That sounds a bit of both.
Yeah,
it's a bit of both of them.
So, have none of us decided to kill Astrid then?
Nah.
Not yet. I was going to do it on a second character, or secondary character. I've got four.
Okay, so while we're on the topic, which of the three hostages did you kill?
All of them.
Did you kill first?
I can't remember. I think I unleashed, like, a spell on them.
What about you, Serna?
I killed the Khajiit. I have something against Khajiits.
You're a racist.
Oh, well, that game is a terribly racist game. Have you tried being an elf?
I am an elf.
Oh,
I get much racism for that.
I've got two elves.
We don't need to know about your dirty deeds.
One's a female, so it's obviously not a dirty deed.
That makes it more of a dirty deed.
Not in my case.
Well, yes, not in your case, but the audience doesn't know that, do they?
Now they know.
Ooh.
Okay. Yes, everyone, I am a gamer.
Yes, a gamer.
Could also count as a gay elf.
Well, speaking of gay things, my Dragon Age 2 character was gay.
What are you hiding from us?
She was a woman.
Good call.
But with the Welsh elf, it was cool. It wasn't slutty or anything. You had to go with the elf. She was cute and Welsh. Anything for the Welsh.
Meryl, is she called?
Yes.
Oh, no, I never played Dragon Age 2. I didn't like the first one.
Well, the second one's very different. I'd say give it a try anyway. A lot of people who love the first one hate the second one.
Well, there's only one thing that sort of draws me to that game, and that's the awesomeness of Varric.
Varric is quite awesome, I will give it that. Both him and Bianca. In case you're wondering, Bianca is the name of his crossbow.
Awesome.
It is. His first appearance.
Chrono, which of the hostages did you kill in that brotherhood?
I killed the woman.
Any particular reason? Or just a whim?
Well, I talked to all three of them and thought, yeah, these people all have problems, so I'm going to kill her, because she's in the middle. Mm. Then went back and talked to her, and she's like, it doesn't matter, you do what I tell you to do. Okay, so I went back and killed the rest of them.
I do like, though, that she phrases it as someone in this room has to die, and someone you really just can't kill her, and it's like, right, you've completely deed.
Mm.
Or you could kill yourself if you wanted to, really.
No, I tell a lie. I did tell a lie. I did kill Astrid. I'm a main save. I've never done that. Up until recently, I hadn't done the Dark Brotherhood. I went around and destroyed it instead, and didn't get nearly as much of a reward. It wasn't fair.
Civil War. How far has everyone got in that?
Well, I've been pretty much avoiding it. Aside from the negotiation part of the main quest, where you get General Tullius and Ulfric Stormcloak to sit down and talk, I've not been doing any of it.
I avoided it for a fair amount of time and then just decided that I wanted to 100% the game. So I went around doing all the main quest lines.
Who did you side with?
Being as I was playing my Nord, I sided with the Stormcloaks.
Okay. I completed it after the main quest line, but I'd already done some of it before. I sided with the Imperials for my main character. I was a Breton, so it really worked in my favour there, because I was just like, well, I don't really have the Nord heritage, so whatever. Interestingly, my Bosma is a Stormcloak, so it's very funny when you take Whiterun and Balgriff says, "Knew I never would have expected you to be a Stormcloak," and I'm like, yeah, me too.
To be honest, if I end up doing it, I will probably end up siding with General Tullius, because the Empire seems to be much more tolerant of me being an elf, whilst most of the Nords are complete twats about it.
To me, my reason for siding with the Imperials is because both sides are just being played by the Falmor. They really do set up this civil war, so it's interesting on that side. But also because I think with an Empire united, it helps more towards like a second war against those two empires. So I don't think declaring Skyrim independent would actually be good for Skyrim.
I don't really care. I have a personal grudge against the Nords.
Sadly, though, my thing with playing the Civil War is that there's no bit afterwards. There's like, you just take the main city of either two factions. So if you're playing for the Imperials, you take Windhelm. If you're playing for the Stormcloaks, then you take Solitude. But after that, it's like you just see their guards walking around the towns you've taken, and then that's it. Like, there's no let's go kill the Falmor, or let's go attack the Falmor and weaken them for the moment. It's just there, you don't.
I keep meaning to go back to the embassy and have a few words with Elwyn.
Mm.
I really enjoyed that questline, where you infiltrate the Falmor embassy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I generally enjoy quests like that in the RPGs anyway, where you just... The ones where you have to use your head rather than your fists. I always turns out to be the more interesting parts.
What type of character do you play, race-wise?
Wood Elf.
Oh, okay. So you probably would have had an easier time sneaking past the Falmor in the embassy.
No, I killed them all.
Horrible time.
When you go into the embassy, if you play as a Khajiit or an Argonian, you really have like a 0% chance of actually getting through them disguised, because they're like, they instantly recognize you are not an elf, you know, so pretty much go back to the queue and die quietly. If you're playing as a man race, then you have a slightly higher chance. I think Bretons have an overall higher chance of not being detected of the man races. I'm not sure about Orcs if they're counted in towards like the man section, however, or if they're kept with the Elves, because then the Elves have the highest chance of sneaking through, with High Elves having like an almost 100% chance of not being detected as long as you're wearing the far more clothes.
I did steal the armor. Walked past the door and like, who are you? So I had to kill them all.
I
wasn't wearing the armor. I tried to sneak past the door and they're like, who are you? Then I killed them all and stole the armor because I didn't take my armor in there with me.
Ah.
Yeah, I had that problem. I had a bit of a problem with the user interface with that part. What about you, Sider?
I had a lot of trouble in the embassy just because I'm a Nord. That is all the time I get racism towards Nords.
Yeah.
So I just went in and slaughtered everybody.
Personally, myself, playing as a Breton, I got through the main bit, and I'd taken my armor with me, so fortunately I still had those back up. But after that, it was... I think I got past the first two guards in Falmor Gate, and then all the others detected me, so I was instantly being rushed from all sides. But luckily, one of my main skills was conjuration, so I was throwing out Storm Atronachs at them and wiping the floor with all as I took out my sword and shield and started smashing them.
I don't use a shield, I use a two-handed sword. I've debated, cause I'm all about the power for the weapon, I've debated upgrading to a battle axe, but it swings slower than this sword, so I've stuck with the sword for now.
I would recommend going for the unique weapon called the Long Hammer. It's a Warhammer which swings as fast as a greatsword.
Oh, where do you find this Warhammer?
It's a place called Swindler's Den.
I can't hear where that is.
It's in a cave entrance in the back. It's led next to a bloke on a table. But yeah, it's not enchanted, and you can't enchant it, but it is good just for smashing stuff around the face.
Do you know what material it's made from, or is it like a Orch. Level thing? Orcish, not bad, not bad.
And what did you say his name was?
The Long Hammer.
Just the Long Hammer. I'll have to keep that in mind.
So, with Skyrim, going on to a gameplay aspect of the game rather than story, how does everyone find the new user interface and the Dragon Shout system?
What do you mean, new user interface compared to Oblivion?
Compared to Oblivion, like in its terms of how you fight, how you cast spells, all that sort of thing, and then also how do you find Dragon Shouts as a gameplay tool?
I enjoy using the Dragon Shouts, especially when you sneak up against unsuspecting bandits who are stood on a wall and you first radar them off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't use Dragon Shouts too much. I usually have my shout button set for the Vampire Lord transformation.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, aside from that, I just attack with my sword rather than shouts.
Myself, I tend to use a lot of shouts, but the shouts I tend to use are either calling for a dragon or throw voice. That's mainly when I'm in a dungeon, throw voice. Otherwise, I can be using something like Fire Breath or Fuss Rodar.
Hmm.
Also, my problem with the Dragon Shouts is, where does the Elder Scrolls series go from there with its just gameplay aspect? Because it's one of these systems that's only just been introduced in this game, so if for any further titles, they're either going to have to make your character Dragonborn again, which could be very problematic, because that then means you're reusing the dragons over and over again for the whole collect the dragon soul, find the word, unlock the word with the dragon soul. Otherwise, they're going to have to drop it entirely, and that
not necessarily.
Well,
because look at it this way: Ulfric can shout.
It is said to be
something that can be learned.
Could be learned, but it's also explained as being something extremely hard to learn that you have to spend years studying.
I can imagine it'd be a quest line, or possibly introduction using Himaeus Mora's knowledge.
Mm.
That sort of thing. Because, like, I don't know if you've played much of Dragonborn yet, but
no, Himaeus Mora... I do know that he has a fair role in it, which I'm not really wanting to spoil myself for it, but I did recognize when I saw, like, some of the masks that they book very tentacly, and I was like, Hermaeus Mora, maybe?
You do like learn some dragon knowledge from Hermaeus Mora in Solstheim. He teaches you how to upgrade some of your shouts. Like, for example, my Fuss Road Dar now, my Unrelenting Force, can it has a chance to disintegrate people when I hit them with it.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
And there is other, there's like three or four ones you can learn. But if they can do it in that, then there's nothing stopping in the next game getting around the dragon shouts in that way.
I think the thing is, though, that then that means that either your character's going to be a dragonborn or they're not a dragonborn, but they've got dragon shouts. And I feel like it should be something unique to this game, and then any additional Elder Scrolls games, if they do make any, and that's very high possibility now. What are they going to use, like, as a game mechanic, if not shouts?
Well, I'd say it's a bit early to be talking about the next Elder Scrolls game already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in terms of extra content, really, Dragonborn is the only one that stands out as an expansion.
Mm-hmm.
So far, most Elder Scrolls games so far have had at least two expansions. So we could be looking at least one more, I'd say, before we start thinking about Elder Scrolls 6.
Mm-hmm. There have been rumours of a new expansion pack or add-on, something like that, downloadable, called Redguard, because it did get a trademark by ZeniMax, the parent company of Bethesda. So it is, at the moment, trying to be decided whether or not it's going to be a new expansion pack for Skyrim, a new game which seems unlikely at this stage, or if it has something to do with the Elder Scrolls adventure game, Redguard, which, if it's something to do with that, that's kind of a shame.
I do remember reading about the Redguard thing. The whole trademark thing, I thought it was just a coincidence sort of thing, because they trademarked it years ago, and the trademark ran out, so maybe they've just renewed it or something like that.
Oh, maybe.
It is quite possible. The Mage's College, the College of Winterhold. Okay, I've started it, and I'd got the three books. I'm supposed to be heading back to the Sarthal, and I haven't yet. I've been doing other things.
Mm-hmm. Myself, I've completed the Mage's College questline, which is interesting also because partway through, minor spoiler area, it does introduce another Mage's Guild in... I can't remember what location it's supposed to be, but they're called the Sigicarda, and they are extremely powerful mages who try and hide the most powerful magical things so they can't fall into the wrong hands. But the one that you get to see in this is very interesting for his own magical powers. It does present that thing of there is more magic available in the world than you can perform, so I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, certainly a good twist.
I will say, I don't use magic too often. I'm trying to raise my restoration, but it's not too high yet.
I do have a character that is a pure mage, who uses nothing but magic and wears nothing but robes.
Mm-hmm.
And I must tell you, from that standpoint, after going from a character as a pure fighter and archer, it is a very difficult transition.
I will say I do prefer being a pure close quarters combat. Well, not pure, because I am quite skilled with archery, but I couldn't use full magic myself. Being a vampire lord as well, I tend to be well versed against almost every kind of enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the extra resistance we get. The only weakness we get is to fire, and if an enemy comes up to me and uses fire, there is always the Fus Ro Dah, which knocks them off the feet, and then I go up and stab them.
Yep.
I quite like the pure mage fighting style. It's interesting because I don't tend to think of any character I've ever played as being a full pure mage. The only time I ever maybe did a full pure mage character in any game was in Final Fantasy XI, the online. I played a white mage mixed with, if I remember correctly, a red mage. That was interesting anyway, but...
How do you mix a white mage with a red mage?
You get a secondary sort of jobs, the weaker versions of the job itself. So you get a few little additional things. But I mainly did it for some of the status things like time and a couple of other spells. But it was interesting anyway. I played a healer, so I had to be a really magical character. Other than that, if I'm ever in a single-player game, or in a game that you have a party, but a very small party, I tend to not go towards pure magic. It hinders me too much.
Well, I do like the fact that no matter what kind of play style that you have on Skyrim, whether it be pure fighter, pure sneaky archer, pure magic user, or a combination of the, any of the above, there's a companion that you can have follow you that, that complements that playing style. Like for an up close fighter, I usually, if I'm playing my my Nord, I usually have Faendal with me because he's an archer. Though most recently I've decided to stick with Serana because she's immortal.
She's immortal and she's a necromancer, so.
It is a good point to note that Serana is unkillable because she's a follower who is also classed as plot important.
Even after the main quest, she's still immortal, so I'd recommend people keep her going on with you after you've completed Dawnguard.
What do you guys think of the companions quest line?
Interesting.
I think it was quite enjoyable.
I like the idea around werewolves in Skyrim being like the vampires are a curse from a Daedric prince, so it's interesting. But
well, you say curse, but unlike vampires, they only really have one downside.
Oh, that you can't rest.
Exactly. And there are ways around that.
At the same time, though, I think the problem is that sometimes if you're playing as a werewolf, there are times you want to get that extra XP bonus just to train up some skills. And I know there is a side quest in the Dawnguard section that allows you to craft, I think it's a circlet that gives you 2 standing stone bonuses. So that's pretty cool. But at the same time, the problem is that you've got to activate 2, and then if you remove it, it deactivates the older one. When you put it back on, it activates the older one again, though. So you can get the Lover Stone thing, which gives you the 10% XP bonus to all of the skills, and then you can activate one of the Guardian Stones and get the extra for a specific class instead.
So I think we'll take this opportunity to take a short break from discussing Skyrim and move on to our review of the week. This week, our review will be Star Wars The Force Unleashed for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. We'll get basic opinions on the game. Sider.
It was a fairly well-rounded game. It was a decent addition to the Star Wars universe. I didn't particularly enjoy the second one, but the game itself had a really good storyline. It had naff camera angles, but other than that, I enjoyed it.
Still it up?
Not bad. I quite enjoyed it. The story's alright, I guess, but as far as you go with like the storylines for a lot of the Star Wars games, it's one of the better ones anyway, the originals. Not coming anywhere near close to like Knights of the Republic and stuff, but pretty decent. Gameplay, not bad. It could stand to be a lot better, like Sina mentioned. Those camera angles can get really annoying sometimes, but yeah, I think it's a decent game. Pick it up if you haven't already played it.
Great. Now, of course, The Force Unleashed was the big project. It was meant to be like the second Shadows of the Empire. Came out on multiple consoles. It had a novel to tie in with it, a graphic novel, and numerous other pieces of media. It was meant to be the big tie-in between the prequel trilogy, the original trilogy. In terms of story, it is played fairly well.
I do quite enjoy some of the revelations that the game presents itself about the beginnings of like the rebellion and how Darth Vader, he's not always bad from that beginning bit, but he does have that good always in him, and it demonstrates it in some parts.
Except when the true plot is revealed. Then it turns out to all have been a lie. I will say, when I first played it, I was a little bit disappointed with how you play through a story and you're Darth Vader's secret apprentice. Then you turn around and become the good guy. I was a little bit disappointed with that, but the ending, I felt, did quite make up for it.
I really enjoyed the whole moral compass sort of thing. You could go both ways. You could go dark side or light side.
Yeah, but it's just one of those split things at the end where you make a choice.
No, it's not as good as some of the games with moral compasses, but at the end of the day, at least it gives you the choice at the end.
Yeah.
I think it has a nice sort of canonical and non-canonical ending that you good is your canonical ending and it ends right there. But you could have the bad ending and go even further into like altering the Star Wars universe. Also, anyone remember his Darth name? His Sith Overlord.
Lord Starkiller.
Just when you get to see the Sith version of him with all the augmentations and stuff, looks really fucking nasty compared to Darth Vader. So I could imagine him, because you know at the end of it, it's a very different universe, and he's become this very weird, I don't know, robot Sith, but I mean really robotic, not like in the Darth Vader way of, oh, but he's just got mechanical parts. He's pretty much controlled by Sidious, isn't he?
Yeah. Pretty much. In terms of gameplay, it plays fairly well, though there are some problems. It can really put you off. You know, you do the first level as Vader, then you have the second level as Starkiller, then the third level on Raxus Prime as Starkiller, and that, to me, is the worst level of the game. And it's
I agree to that.
It's a little irritating that it comes so early, because it can really put you off playing the rest of it.
Oh, yeah.
You've got the Force droids that keep on coming back to life. You got the awkward jumps on a game that isn't built for these kind of things. The Jawas that won't stop attacking you. That irritates me. It's like, okay, Jawas, I'm not going to attack them because I've known some cool Jawas. Then they attack me by throwing grenades at me. It's like, fuck you, this is on. And the boss, though, the boss is one of the worst in the game.
I did enjoy the fight with Master Kota, though. That was fun.
In the second level.
Yeah, and I liked how Marek goes to fight the remaining Jedi that are left over from Order 66.
The interesting part about that is that the third Jedi you take on is Shaak-Ti, who, if you do pay attention to the Star Wars canon, was actually supposed to have died in Episode 3 in a deleted scene. In two deleted scenes, actually. They had two separate deaths for her before they decided, we'll have her in this game.
Retcon for the win.
Yeah. So overall opinions in terms of the game, though, the graphics are very impressive. I mean,
good time.
Well, it was around for ages, wasn't it? The trailers came out a good, 2 or 3 years before the game itself actually came out. The sound, of course, is your classic Star Wars sound. The voice acting is pretty well done. I will give credit to Matt Sloan for his Darth Vader voice. Very impressive. Who is actually also known for doing Chad Vader, Day Shift Manager, which is a pretty funny web series. If you've not seen it, it's worth a look. And, of course, Sam Witwer, who plays Starkiller, also provides the voice for Palpatine, and it is a very good impression. I don't think many people realise that.
I will say one major problem I had with the game, though, was the repetitive enemies. That you could be going through the level. I couldn't remember the planet. It's the one where you do fight the third Jedi Master, but it's the second time you go through it. The amount of rancors you fight, like, over and over again, to the point that just at the end, you're sick of fighting them. Because they're not hard to take down, they're just a nuisance.
Well, I do know there is the trophy in the game for taking out 6 Rancor. And the first time I finished the game, I didn't get that trophy. So I'm guessing I took out 5 in the total of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what you're saying with the repetitive enemies. The worst for me were the Purge Troopers. The big black stormtroopers who really can only be hurt with lightning. It was just really irritating. You just have to stand there using the lightning over and over because they don't flinch when you attack them. And they'll grab you and take off a good chunk of your health. It was really irritating.
The main problem I had with the game was mainly just the really, really terrible camera angles. I know I keep saying this, but it just sort of ruined a lot of the experience for me, especially when you're running along the walkways fighting enemies and the camera angle's just terrible. You're in front of a box and you can't see what's going on because you can't change the camera angle around.
I mean, we are talking about the HD versions. I do want to take a little minute out, though, to comment on the PSP version, which is a pretty decent game in itself. You know, it's worth a play if you have a PSP. Especially if you've not played any of the other versions. But unlike the HD versions, the cutscenes are all done in real time with the PSP graphics. And it gets to the point where it's really funny if you choose the good ending at the end. You fight Palpatine, and then there's the cutscene afterwards where you're doing the lightning reflection thing. And it's really hilarious because the PSP graphics, the faces don't really show any kind of emotion. And he's there screaming as he moves closer. But the graphics seem to mess up a little. And I've checked this. It wasn't just my game. I've checked it on YouTube. It seems to be how the cutscene works out. And Starkiller walks forward, but ends up walking too far with his hands outstretched, catching the lightning. And he seems to just grab onto Palpatine's shoulders and just scream at him before the explosion happens. And it is really funny. If you've not seen it, I recommend checking it out on YouTube, because it is really funny. In terms of gameplay, it does get rather repetitive, but it does have a high quality for what it is. It's worth a play. Overall scores, guys, stay with them.
For a point out of 10, I'd give it a 7. 7.5, maybe on a good day.
Sider? Yeah, I'd probably go with around a 7 as well. I mean, like I said, good story, good graphics, decent combat system, but just having the really annoying repetitive enemies and the bad camera angles. But yeah, even the voice acting was good as well.
I think I'll probably give it a 7.5, which is probably due more to me being a big Star Wars fan. So there's our review on Star Wars Force Unleashed. If you don't think there wasn't much of a review in this section, please let us know in the email. Anyway, back onto the Skyrim. So, the main quest, guys. First up, the start of the game. What do you think?
Very different to I wouldn't say actually very different from your average Elder Scrolls game, because again, you are imprisoned, but it was a really nice sort of cinematic start of the game. It was quite epic.
I'm going to agree with Sina there, because it's more scripted than your average Elder Scrolls opening. I mean, if anyone's played Oblivion here, they'll know that you go through that and the Emperor dies, and that's pretty much like the only real bit of scripting you have. Apart from just, he enters, you go through the cave system, you go back, and then he dies, and then you escape the caves. But Skyrim, I think it puts some real effort into doing a little bit of backstory. I know I've heard some people say that it tries to dump too much information on you at once, but I think if you could keep in mind some of the things that are said in that bit, when you in later parts of the game, if you're not already familiar to the series, or if you do a second playthrough, you then start to realise that the Nord who's on the carriage with you, who's not a Stormcloak, is reciting some of the names of gods, that they're talking about the Falmor and how about the Civil War. You can get bit snippets of it your first time through, or if you know a little bit about the game beforehand, you get the gist of what's going on. But I also like that they start off and dragon attacks, and it gives you a quick tutorial of this is how to move, this is how to jump, escape with whatever side you wish to go with, this is how you fight and equip stuff. It gives you a good couple of pieces about the game to learn off with. Within like the first hour or so, which honestly is a lot better than the previous Elder Scrolls games have done.
I do find it rather amusing in hindsight, because if Alduin hadn't showed up to interfere, he'd have no problem. Because at this point, you don't know your Dragonborn. Nobody else knows your Dragonborn. Hell, it would have solved damn near most of Skyrim's problems for a short time if Alduin hadn't turned up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Ulfric Stormcloak would be dead. You'd be dead. Which is the problem with the long run. But in the short run, Skyrim was fine. Alduin really screwed himself over there.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the fact that you can choose not to be Dragonborn. You don't actually have to do the quest where you become...
Yeah, if you don't do the main quest line, you can just go through it. I mean, you can collect, like, dragon words and stuff from a lot of the quests, but you don't actually have to go out your way finding them. I do, however, enjoy the first bits of the quest. Other than that, I do have a major problem with the quest line itself being boring, but that's a problem I've had with a lot of the main quest lines for Elder Scrolls anyway, that they have their moments in missions. But overall, the questline is just a little bit boring and doesn't seem to affect a lot of the game itself, other than just people saying, oh no, dragons have come back. And that's only if you like go past the beginning quest of going to the Greybeards, really.
I've noticed that dragons seem to be appearing more often since I finished the main quest. They rarely appeared before I did it. I mean, I've just been running around Skyrim. Might see one in the distance, wouldn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to deliberately start a fight with the ones that are in the distance, because they just don't attack you.
Nowadays, I can't walk 5 feet without one of the bastards landing and attacking me.
So apart from the main quest line for Skyrim...
There is the side quests, being, what, around about 99% of the game.
Oh, there is too many side quests for me to complete half the time.
Fuck, I've been walking down the street before now, and you know, someone will say something that I've not been listening to. It'll say, location added to map.
Mm-hmm.
Find the dog. Then I found this talking dog, and I'm thinking, are you Shiagora? It's like, follow me to my master. Like, yep, yeah, I'm going to go the other way. And I went in the opposite direction.
Oh, Barbara, she's a cool character.
That's Cassius Files' Daedric quest line. It's a fairly good one if you want to get a good, heavy helmet.
Well, to be fair, I was already doing a quest. The one where you get Mehrunes Dagon's dagger for the guy in the museum.
It's a good dagger. It's a good dagger.
I don't use daggers. I use two-handed weapons. Because we all know real men hit hard.
Then I think he'll quite like the Whispering Lady quest in Whiterun.
You get the Pale Blade. No,
Pale Blade. It was crap.
Ebony Blade. The Whispering Lady Daedric quest.
That powers up every time you kill one of your companions or trusted individuals.
Mm.
So if you ever feel like Lydia's getting on your nerves, you can always stab her in the back and get her blood.
Well, to be fair, I keep Serana with me, so I could get any other follower and then kill them.
It's a nice looking weapon. It's a daikatana. It's something this game really lacked, is obviously because the blades don't really exist. Mm-hmm. I found it quite difficult to get all of the Akaviri katanas. I mean, I found a couple. I got one called Bolar's Oathblade, which is like an enchanted one.
If you complete the Dawngab questline, you get Harkon's Blade, which is a katana that is mainly suited towards vampires.
Yeah, I got that one. It's just one of them. I really liked the blades kit that you got in Oblivion.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get that in Skyrim, but it just doesn't feel as good. What would everyone say their favourite side quest they've played at the moment is? And not to any questline like Thieves Guild or Companions. Just side quests you've come across, what would it be?
I really enjoyed the Molag Bal quest. You know, the one with the haunted house.
Yeah.
That was a good quest. I enjoyed that one. I like how the house just starts throwing random bits of furniture at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh shit, what do I do? You know, I tried force rodaring some of it out of the way, hitting it with my weapons. And nothing happened.
Chrono?
I'm trying to think. It is fairly difficult. So, favourite side quest without a guild, sir? Without a guild?
Yeah.
possibly the Septimus side quest, where you take the blood, which is one that I did really without even trying. As it turned out, the five blood types I needed were in people I killed.
Then I got
the book, and the book boosted my stats for free. It was great.
I know that there's a cave that has all five of them ready for you to collect. That if you, I think it's on the side quest anyway with Septimus trying to decipher the Elder Scroll. You just going along that set, you can find a couple of people with the blood already.
The place where you actually go and get the Elder Scroll, all the the mining expedition. There's a blood type of all the ones you need and all the dead bodies.
Yeah, that's the one I meant.
And there is, funnily enough, the only other place in the game that has all of the blood types in, minus, I think, one, is the place where you get the long hammer from, Swindler's Den.
All right. Myself, I'd say it's A Night to Remember, the one for Sanguine, which is pretty much just like The Hangover if it was done in Elder Scrolls. It was just a very funny side quest to play.
I've been avoiding that one for the minute.
I'd recommend, you know, if you decided to just do a funny side quest, it would be that one. It's very weird and wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good quest line.
Especially when you go to his Realm of Oblivion, because that place just looks like a hell of a hangout spot. What would everyone say their favourite city in the game is?
I'd probably say Whiterun. It's the place I visit most.
Alright. Interesting choice. Any particular reason you visit there a lot?
It's where a lot of stuff goes down.
Yeah, I second that. Whiterun is the place I visit the most. Just because my Bree's home is my house, and it was my first house, and I'll never ever really move out of that house. I have that much shit in there, it's unbelievable. Like, if a burglar was to walk in my house and open up the top drawer in the dresser across the way, they'd probably be crushed in with the weight of jewels that are in there. I think we worked it out that I had just under 200,000 gold's worth of jewels in there. That is where all the decent artists, where the most traders are. So get selling your shit quickly.
I say Solitude, but that's because my Hearthfire house is the one for Morfolk, but it's extremely to the northeast of it, like just sort of outside of the swamp area, kind of going into the tundra. But it's also extremely close to Solitude as well, and that's where my old house was. So I just teleport a lot to the Blue Palace, and then go to my house, get anything that I need from there, take it to my new place. It's a lot of fun, really, just to see how much money I can put into this place. Because, like you said about the amount of stuff you've got in drawers, I've like sectioned off all the different stuff, but I've still got a lot of things to, you know, put in different places. Like, if I unlocked one of the safes, I'd just, like, there would be a swarm of jewels and rings and other pieces of, like, random expensive items just fall out of it.
I'd say I visit Whiterun most because I sell stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's got the general trader there, and when they run out of money, what is it? Riverwood isn't too far away either.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad point.
Although I do actually have another reason to go there now. I recently adopted a kid.
Ah, right.
And got a wife.
Who did you marry?
He sold her.
Same.
I was debating the woman in the bar after I beat the shit out of her.
Mm-hmm.
Which is because she challenges you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just go around beating up women.
Sure you don't.
I kill them. Sure. I kill them with a sword. I don't hit them with a fist. Or set them on fire. It depends. They usually
I'm a bachelor. I didn't marry anyone because the one character I wanted my Dragonborn to marry rebuffed my advances, and he's just now forever alone.
And who was it?
Serana. You can't marry her. It upset me greatly.
Oh yeah, I asked her first, but she's like, no, we can't. I'd say there's three reasons why she's the one you'd want to marry, though.
Go on.
Vampire. That adds a level of hotness.
Yep.
The eyes,
yeah,
that's pretty hot. And she's voiced by Laura Bailey.
You know, you just got all three top reasons, not necessarily in that order, but also her eyes. If you ask her to become a human again, she has like violet eyes, which also are nice.
Myself, I married Gisolda, but she's randomly disappeared from my house now. I think she just may be cheating on me. She's figured out I'm gay and has decided like this.
Is it possible she's been kidnapped?
That's the thing. I don't think she has, because the bandits were at the house at one point, but I killed them before they kidnapped her. There's been no note left or anything. Also, the bed where I sleep in says that I get the father's love bonus. I'm well rested. I don't get the lover's comfort. So I'm wondering if the house itself has like made her teleport to another place or whatever. I keep meaning to go back to Whiterun and search her house anyway to see if she's moved back in or something. Seems to be a very strange glitch, but otherwise I'm not too bothered. I'm just more annoyed that I now can't sell my shit in my house.
I was quite irritated with the fact that you can't kill kids.
Oh, you would be.
Some of them just need to die. Really do. It's not as though kids haven't died in that world before. If you do the quest in Morthal, you see a kid's ghost.
Oh, yeah. And the bet was turned into a vampire, so...
Yeah.
Spit.
They all died.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I finished that quest, they're all like, we are vampires. Like, ha! You're not a vampire. This is a vampire. It was hilarious. They were like, shit.
Shall we wrap this up here, then?
Okay, shall we wrap this up, then?
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because I say it. This is my podcast. I say it. Yeah. I think you can do things I do, bitch.
You can do it better.
Anything you can do, I can do better. Or I can do anything better than you.
Have you seen Neil Patrick Harris and Hugh Jackman sing that?
Oh, God, it was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was also that video I watched with Kaylee Cuoco hosting an award.
Yeah, I think I sent you that, didn't
you
I?
You might have done. And Neil Patrick Harris sat there with the dancers. Mm.
Yeah. I've got a problem. I'm on a 10-step program. I'm on step 5, 6, 7, 8.
If Ryan Reynolds doesn't end up playing Deadpool in this movie they're supposed to be doing, he would be the next choice.
Oh, definitely. Barney Stinson as Deadpool.
Anyway, let's wrap it up, shall we? This has been Chronophobe talking to you live through the internet. If you do not have the internet, you may be clinically insane, because you've been hearing voices for the past hour and something.
They want to take away your medication. Let them.
I have medication. It doesn't do well for me. That's asthma medication.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Probably doesn't bode well for me. Dun, dun, dun. Bah, bah. Anyway, I've been Green Chrono, joined by Staledam.
Goodbye.
And Cider.
Catch you next week.
Well, if you enjoyed this podcast, next week we'll be talking about something else. We're not going to announce it this time, because last time we did, Cider didn't know bugger all about the topic, did you, Cider?
Hey, yeah, whatever. Screw you.
Turns out Cider hasn't played one of the most popular and influential gaming franchises of the past 25 years.
And fuck him.
Yes, fuck Cider. Fuck him right in his bump hole. Staledam, hey. Take care of that for me.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
Staledam could take care of that for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he couldn't handle it.
I think you'd be surprised by just how much he's willing to try.
A plus for effort.
Yeah. Anyway, hope you enjoyed this podcast. Catch you next week, where we'll be discussing other things.
Whatever comes into our head at the time.
Yeah, probably. In fact, you know, fuck it. Next week, Adlin. So long.